this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Tonight's message, and it's interesting because I was just chatting to Kurt here about how God shifts sometimes your heart towards what you should be speaking about. And I really, when I started this week, I didn't think I'd be talking about the topic I'm speaking about tonight. But it's interesting that what we're going to look at. And you can see the title there is The Reboot, right? And if any of you know what that's got to do with, it's got to do with your computer. But you guys aren't computers, you guys are humans, all right? But we're going to be talking about that this evening. And I'm trusting God will bring a reboot, in a sense, on something we believe or something that we understand. Oh, gosh, there we go. Something that we believe and understand about a topic that I'll mention. I like to keep you on the edge that you won't know what it's about yet. But the term reboot often refers to a computer, all right, an operating system where we reboot it. But then I looked at the definition. There's another term for it as well. And I like this. It says, a film or television show that is a remake of an earlier production, typically with a different or refreshed viewpoint. I like that. Refreshed or new viewpoint. And that's what I'm trusting for this evening as we just dig into the Word. And this week as I was praying and just wrestling with God on what I should be sharing with you guys, I realized that, you know, if I don't have a heart for you, if I don't really, if I almost disconnect myself from you, what I shared has no significance. So I actually was praying this week about, God, give me a heart to love the people. You know, I don't know all of you. I know some of you. See Quibus there. I know some faces, but you know, I don't know all of you. But I can ask God for a heart to, what does He want to say to you? And I really believe this evening, the message I have for you is what He wants for you because of the love that He has for you. This morning I was praying for the message and God just gave me a vision. And maybe it's for someone here specifically, but it's got to do with a person. And it ties into our message, but it's got to do with a person. And I just saw these waves of almost pressure as they were crouching over, and these waves were sort of washing over them, of it was almost like a bombardment, and you'll see it ties into our message, but they couldn't almost see out of this bombardment of these waves, and their head was down, and they were crouching. And I'll explain that now as we get into the message. Let's look at our first scripture, and it's the title, or the main core scripture of our message, which is in Revelations 2, verse 4. And you should know it. You should have heard it at some point in time, or you might have heard a sermon about it. But it talks about returning to your first love. But I have this complaint against you. This is Jesus speaking to the church in Revelations. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. And in the Greek there is, you've actually lost your first love. That's the direct translation. So you've lost that first love. And that first love for us is the love that we have of Christ and of God and our relationship with Him. And the reason why I'm going to mention this is, you know, we at times, even in my own life, and this is what God spoke to me about 2 weeks ago in the service, you know, that it's this zeal and this passion for Christ, that is actually this love. It's associated with this love. And I was really stirred when I was just sitting in worship. God reminded me of this. He reminded me of this zeal and this passion that we should have for Him. And we were praying this afternoon as well, and God just told me, He reminded me that it's this first love that He wants to rekindle in each of our lives this evening. And there's a few things that can steal from that. And I'm going to look at a few of them, or just mention a few of them, and then really unpack one this evening that I felt it's important for us. So it's this zeal and this passion that we embrace salvation that it's actually talking about here. And we realize it when we come to salvation and what Christ has done for us. And maybe you're sitting here this evening and you don't feel very passionate about your relationship with Jesus. And you feel a bit disconnected from that passion, that zeal for Christ and for the believers in the same sense. Because if we don't love, we don't have a love for Christ, it's very difficult to love those around us. Because it becomes almost a work. And Jesus was addressing the Ephesian church here. And they were very good at what they did. They persevered. They were actually commended. If you go read just in the scriptures there, they were commended for their good work. They were commended for how hard they worked and all the effort that they went to and the things that they achieved. But they didn't have this zeal. They didn't have this passion for their first love. And this is what Jesus is actually speaking to them about, saying, hey, remember that first love. Remember what was actually happening the first time I engaged you. If we have a look tonight, what competes? Oh, this is struggling now. I don't know, Shaul, what I must do here. To hold it closer. there we go. I think it's better now. What competes for your love? All right. I know that we often, if we look at the picture of love, we think of probably a relationship or what Hollywood has to say about love. But now we're talking about the Father's love towards you. What competes in your life for that love? And I'm going to be talking a bit about some of these things. What we love is often what we set our attention and our devotion and our sacrifice and our time on. So the things that you love are the things that you make sacrifice for. So if you're a mom and you have a child, you sacrifice for that child because you love them. You know, it might be your comfort or whatever. It will be your time. So the things, and I want you to keep this in mind, the things that you love are the things that you will spend time on, you'll spend attention on, devotion, so that's a commitment to it, and things you'll actually sacrifice for, maybe money, you know, or something else. So I've got a list of a few things here. They're not up there, but maybe you can associate with one or two of these things. Our career, you know, maybe you are devoted to your career. You might not say that you love it, but you're devoted to it. You spend all your energy, your time in your career. And these, the list I'm mentioning, they're not all bad things. I just want to tell you that. But we're going to be talking about how they can become an idol in our lives. So our career, our studies, who of you are still studying here? All right? There's quite a few of you. Isn't it the university holidays now? You should be at home, be probably studying. So that's good for your tests. So maybe your studies is where you devote all your time. And like I said, these aren't bad things, but when they prioritize, when they almost trump our relationship with God at times, then they can become a problem. Personal achievements. Maybe you're that type of person, you know, people when they look at you, you're like, yeah, that guy's an achiever, man. Hey, look at him. You know, he's really achieved in his life. He's whatever. I'm just thinking of, because I've got someone in mind now because I just saw them, but you know, you start your own company and you're successful, right? You've achieved something. Is it that personal achievement that, is that where you've devoted all your energy? Our own ambitions, okay? Our success. Are those the things that we've actually invested into when it comes to our love, our commitment? Money. I know that, you know, we can easily get, what would I say, deceived by the love of money. And just we so easily associate with it that it's a blessing. Money is a blessing. And no, money is actually for the use of the kingdom. It's a tool. We get to use it and steward it, but at the end of the day, we're all leaving, and what we've done with our money counts, all right? So we will all have this issue in our lives, is dealing with money and just the love of money. Material things, you know, sometimes we can struggle with this, that we, you know, you want a car for some specific reason, or that the car you have is not good enough. I must admit, I've been challenged with this thing
quite recently. I don't know if you've seen my wife's old little Taz. We've been saving for another car, but I've been driving this old little Taz, and boy, sometimes I just tell her, I think I'm going to sell it. It's time to sell it, because we've spent so much money already trying to fix it, but there's something in your heart that says, oh, why don't I just, you know, you drive in traffic, and you just see all these smart cars, and you think, why not me? You know, why can't we have smart cars? And the reality is, a car is just a car. It's an expense, and it will pass away. It will also eventually be sold. It will get broken. And I've just been wrestling with this, even in my own heart, the things of the material things in this world. And we can so easily be distracted by them and make them a priority. I think this is the thing. The things that we love, we make a priority. I'm going to try not to make that noise again. Okay. Now, here's a big one. Here's actually what we're talking about. You've probably heard many messages about all those topics before. You're like, oh, John, this is nothing new. We've heard about all these things. And tonight, I'm going to mention one that maybe isn't on that list in your mind. And we're going to be talking about social media. All right? Your social media. And maybe it's a question. How much time do you think you devote to social media? And how does it correlate in your relationship with God? And how does it influence your relationship with God? We're going to be talking a bit about that tonight. And I was seriously convicted about just the amount of time I spend on social media and how it impacts me. More importantly, how it impacts my relationship with God. And that's why I'm here tonight. I'm going to share that with you because I really believe there's something that's hidden, almost this, it's like a deception, a secret deception of what social media hides from us. And we're going to look at that. We're going to unpack it a bit this evening. But before we do, I'm going to play another video for us just to give us an understanding. I don't know, let me quickly get the lights. Oh, there's someone there. Wonderful. Okay. So, I don't know if any of you can relate to any of that, part of that video. I know I've watched it a few times, and each time I watch it, I'm like, oh, man. Maybe that's why I'm spend so much time on social media. Like, there's many, and we're going to have a look at a few now. But the key around this, and the wonderful thing is, all of you, who's not on social media at all? Ah, well done. Okay. You guys can judge me now. So you can judge me. That's awesome. Okay. Let me just, so social media is WhatsApp and Facebook and those types of things. So if you're off them, well done. Maybe it's because your phone is really, really old. That's okay. I'm sure you'll get an upgrade and then you'll have all those good things. Well, we'll see if they're good now. But it could be your phone. But it is a dilemma that we're faced with these days. You know, social media and the amount of time and energy it can consume. And I'm going to look at a few concerns. We've got three main concerns this evening. I'm going to be mentioning a whole bunch of things. But I did quite a bit of research into just reading some articles and things about social media and the impact it has on us. And the one concern that I found was we are becoming like what we behold or worship. So we are becoming like what we behold or worship. So whatever we put ourselves in front of, okay, is what we will worship, is what we will become. Because I'm going to look at this now in Scripture because it explains it a bit more. So whatever we worship, so if we worship Jesus and we follow Him, we become like Him, okay? So when we devote ourselves to maybe something like social media or just spending so much time in it, it steals from this. So whatever you invest into or spend time and energy into, you will also become like. In Romans, we're going to be looking at just this passage in 1 verse 21 to 23. It's up there. And it talks about just idols. And for although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, animals and creeping things. I was joking with my wife. When it talks about birds there, I was thinking about Twitter, but I'm only joking. But it's these idols that we build up or that we engage with in the sense. And I listed those things of money and success and all those things that we can place as an idol. And all that an idol really is something that's it's competing. It's competing for our first love, which is Jesus. Right? It's competing for the relationship we have with God. And it's these things that sort of can cloud and come in. In Romans 12, it says in verse 1 to 2, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And it's this conforming to the world that I'm concerned with in my own life. I'm sharing it with you, but I'm concerned in my own life about this. Because media, and I'm not just talking about media on your phone, all forms of media, YouTube and movies, series, they are of the world. And they are projecting something towards us. And either we choose to accept it or deny it. It will filter through us. Okay, it will filter into us. But what's the effect of it? What's the implications towards us and the way we think, the way we relate, the way we react? We're going to look at these. It says here that we should be transformed by the renewal of our mind. And that's really key because everything I'm going to speak about tonight, because everything I want to talk about tonight has actually got to do with relationship. It's got to do with returning to God and our relationship with Him, but also to each other. And funnily enough, we associate relationship even with Facebook or your social media. And people say, "What? It's not official till it's Facebook official." You know, if you're in a relationship or something like that. So people really use it as a benchmark to gauge things in your life and say, wow, you're actually a success now because Facebook says so. Not because I actually know you. It's interesting. I might be knocking. I'm going to knock some of the media platforms tonight and hopefully they won't get hold of me, but I'm not worried. But the reality is, and we're going to talk about it, there are good things that we can use, and I will mention them a bit later with regards to social media. But let us not be conformed to the world. This is what Romans is saying here. And I think subtly and secretively, there's this mission that social media has towards conforming us to the ways of this world. And we have to be careful on how we let that influence us. We have to be wise to the times. And you are in this time. You are influenced by social media, so you need to be aware. And that's why I'm sharing this with you this evening. It's not to knock these big companies, but there's something happening in our world, and we need to be aware of it. There's something happening in your life, and we need to be wise to it. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, just talks about transformation there. And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So we change when we grow in intimacy with God, spending time in His presence and His Word. And really that's what it comes down to is, you know, if that is being stolen, if that time is being stolen by things in social media, what are we being transformed into? That's the question is, you know, we want to be transformed into His glory, not the things of this world. What we love to behold is what we worship. Okay, so the things that we place in front of us is what we worship. It's quite a scary thing. I was telling my wife, she knows this though, but I came to this realization when I was starting to wake up. Even at night, I wake up, oh, I'm awake, 3 o'clock in the morning, what'll I do? I'll go into my phone because it's right next to my bed. I can't really sleep. I know what I probably should be doing because God probably woke me up. He's like, oh, it's time to pray or spend some time with me. But I go onto Facebook or something and then I'll scroll and see, do some mindless scrolling and or whatever, check my messages or anything, emails. Because I get emails in the middle of the night. Who sends those things? You know, like, why would you be getting them in the middle of the night? So, but your phone captivates you, you know? It captivates your attention. So, I want to talk about that a bit as well. So, the spiritual truth is scary, all right? That we can be transformed by the things that we actually place in front of us. The things that we value, okay? But this helps us to ask a few questions. What happens to our soul when we spend so much time on our phones? What happens to your soul? What happens, more importantly, to your relationship with God at these times? How are we changed? Do we know? Do we even know how we changed? Or how are we conformed? How are we conformed? The reality is social media impacts us. And even though we don't realize it, it impacts our relationships. It impacts the way we relate to each other. And more importantly, it impacts the way we relate to God. I don't know. I haven't got God on WhatsApp. Does anyone? I haven't seen him there, but I've seen church people there, which is great. But God doesn't use WhatsApp. He doesn't really use Facebook. He's more of a kind of an intimate guy. You know, he wants to spend time with me one-on-one. And we relate that way, in an intimate way. And but it impacts our relationships. I don't know about you, but I've worked with some youth as a teacher, and I'm actually teaching now again, and it's so interesting to see the way the younger generation is using media or using social media. We have it, and it impacts us as well, but the example here was, you know, our conversations become a bit superficial, the things we talk about. We don't really talk about anything deep. We never really go to that personal issue where I push into your boundary and say, hey man, how are you really doing? It's like, hey, how's it? Good, lekker, hashtag, cheers, bye. See you later, hashtag. And that's how we don't realize it, but we're responding to people like that. We respond to them and we're thinking like that. We're starting to think in short segments. It's like, what do I need to do to communicate? I've got this short sentence. Ah, there, fit it in. Good to see you. So we miss it. We're starting to miss a bit of the depth of relationship that and connection we have with people as well as with God. And just the research I did, it was scary to see because in our generation, I was speaking to my wife, we got the internet arrived about 20 years ago. And so we've always known the internet. Everyone knows the internet. We've always had life with the internet, as far as we can know. But there's a generation, and you might know them, and your parents, and they're a bit slower with these types of things, but they're catching on quite quickly, okay, to how social media works. The reality is, in a few years' time, no one will remember what it was like not to have social media or internet. We will just relate with each other on the way we know. So there's these historians and stuff, and they're actually researching this stuff. They're like, this is weird, because they actually study church history and how the church is growing and progressing. And they're like, wow, soon everyone in the church will think like this. They'll interact in such a way where no one will know any different. And it's interesting because, and that's why I'm mentioning it to you, that we can see it. We can track it. We can actually see it in our own lives, because that's what this is about tonight. It's not about me, even though I need to repent of all this horrible stuff that I'm struggling with, but it's about what God is doing with us as a body. So we have these superficial conversations with little spiritual meaning or input, and these short responses, like I said. We need to consider what you're saying. And this is just an extra little thing on when we speak or when we comment, even on a social platform. as believers, people scrutinize us. They look at us. Especially if you're on Facebook, you say, oh, I'm a spirit-filled believer. You know, you place it there, and then the comments and stuff we post, or the things we say about other people, you know, we'll be held accountable for the words we use, the things we say to people. And it says this quite beautifully in Proverbs 10, verse 19 to 21. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. And that means like wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for a lack of sense. And I'm just so challenged with this that I don't want to post something or I don't want to say something on social media that I won't be able to own. So if I'm standing in front of you, and I can actually say that comment to you, I can claim it as my own. I'm not going to hide behind that it's a social media post or something like that. So that's very important. Look, I don't post very many things on Facebook, but when I do, I often pray, I'm like, God, sure, should I actually post this thing? And maybe thinking, oh, wow, the guy's so super spiritual. He actually prays about his posts. That's weird. I just post everything. Post. Oh, tag. No, I also tag things and stuff every now and then. But I've just been challenged with this. Like, what's it all about? The way we interact online influences our real relationships, as I mentioned. An example of this, I was teaching at a high school, and there was a boy, and he wasn't speaking to his mother at all. So he was in boarding, and she came to me. She was very distressed, and she said, my son won't speak to me. I don't know what's wrong with him. I think he hates me. I don't know if he wants to commit suicide and all these things. I just asked her, do you have Facebook and WhatsApp? And she's like, no, I don't have time for those things. I'm like, well, do you have time for your son? And she's like, yes, well, then get WhatsApp and Facebook and start to message him. And about a month later, she came to me. She said, it's so wonderful. I have this amazing relationship with my son. I know everything that's going on in his life because they communicate via WhatsApp and Facebook. It's scary. It's scary but true that he'd rather not speak to his mom but message her. And that's a generation, and maybe that's an extreme case, but it should speak to us a bit about even our own relationships with people that we have. The thing here, though, which is important, is a good conversation that you have with a person, a face-to-face conversation, often involves listening. That's a skill. Men, I'm just giving this, it's a bit of marriage advice for one day, listening, right? You must listen with a deft ear on what your wife or any lady actually or anyone is saying. We need to listen. You can hear, but there's a difference between hearing and listening. So it also involves time. A conversation often takes time. You have to sit with someone or you have to meet with them and you have to engage with them. You actually have to be vulnerable. You might have emotions towards what people are saying and you have to respond in that moment. You can actually see the tone and the passion or the sadness of a person as opposed to just a message. So, our first concern that we've covered is we need to be careful what we worship, what we place in front of us, because we ultimately will become that. What we worship, what we spend our time on, what we invest into, we can become that, or it can definitely influence us. The second concern I have for us tonight is and this ties into my vision that I just had this morning of spiritual bombardment. You know, where we should have these constant inputs. I think I have a picture of just all these, I don't know, Elton? Yes, I like that picture. I just saw it this morning. I was like, wow, that's how I feel sometimes. There's just so much input from all these, you know, social platforms and the internet, and they sort of bombard us, and there's so much to know. You know, I always feel so inadequate when I go into the internet because I realize, man, I know nothing. There's so much information out there. And I was just thinking about this, and you know, one of the articles I was reading said that we as humans desire to know, have a knowledge of things. And but there's an unhealthy desire where we can desire to know more than the next person. And we sort of feed that desire by even going online and reading an article, because you want to know, you actually want to be the first to know everything. And because we don't want to be left out, you actually want to be the informed person. You want to be the person that is in the know. Who of you want to be in the know? I know that I do. It's only a few of you. The rest of you are like, I don't care. You guys are cool. It's like, whatever. Whenever it happens, I'll I like to know what's happening. So we often spend a lot of time even reading articles. And I've liked one of these, a whole bunch of good things on Facebook where I get these feeds, you know, these healthy feeds from church leaders and, you know, these really cool guys that make these quotes, Reinhard Bonnke doing this and John Bevere is doing that, and everyone's posting everything. And it's this constant flow of just even good stuff, eh? Scripture, like, wow, this is so much. I can't even, Angus Buckham, oh, wow, Angus, that's amazing. What a revelation. And then that. And there's a lot of second-hand and third-hand stuff just coming into my life. And I realized, and I'm going to talk about it now, that that's not necessarily what God wants for us. That's not our food. And sometimes we go to that space for our food. You know, we find ourselves, you know, ooh, that's nice. You know, I know that, that scripture's a bit harsh for today. I think I'll scroll a bit down. Ah, Joyce Meyer. Ah, thank you. Ah, woo, power. Yeah, so you just have to find something that suits you for the day. And we do this. We do this. The quotes I put here, we spiritually like feed off junk food. I'm not saying it's junk, because actually a lot of it is very good. But we don't go to the source. We don't actually go and find nourishment in God's word and actually let him speak to us, wash over us, and be with him. We often find ourselves on these media platforms just picking off what other people have actually already processed. And I'm not saying these are bad things, but they could be if they substitute your main meal. I don't know if you've ever watched Super Size Me. That guy just eats McDonald's for like 30 days. Nearly dies. It's scary. Okay? But there's this trend for us to actually live off spiritual fast food. You know? Where we can go onto the menu and we can just pick what we want and we can eat it. And it's not healthy for us, because it can't sustain us. It doesn't nourish us. Okay? Is that okay? Are you guys with me? Does this make sense? I hope it does. It makes sense in my head anyway when I prepared it. But there's this unhealthy desire to know everything and to be filled with knowledge. Okay? And I'll go get there now because it actually feeds our ego. It's like, yeah, I know that. Oh, yeah, I read that article. I actually liked it. I was actually the one that shared it. So I was the source, okay? It's so interesting. I was talking to my wife, because I never thought about this, but sometimes when I post something on, I'm using Facebook as an example, when I post something and someone likes it, there's something inside me that goes, yeah, somebody liked that. That's pretty cool, you know? It's like, oh, they like my picture. That was a good one. It was a nice party. I'm looking good, yeah, you know. But it feeds our ego. It feeds actually the ego of who we are. And that's not what God wants, you know. And I'm not saying stop liking people's things. I'm just saying, where's our motivation? Where's it coming from? Where's all this coming from, you know? You know, it's interesting. This thing of having knowledge. What tempted Eve in the beginning? She wanted to know everything. It was the original sin. She wanted to be like God and know everything. I want to know. I want to know everything. And maybe that's you tonight. You're just like, man, I've got a desire, and it's not healthy to know everything. I want to be in the know. I want to research. I want to get to the grips of everything. I want to be ahead of everyone when it comes to knowing about whatever. We have this fear of being left out. And we've mentioned it before here at church. We call it, you know, you become a FOMO, right? Fear of missing out. And even on Facebook, it's definitely prevalent there because you're, you know, oh, wow, she got married. Who's she again? Oh, wow, a baby. Another one. You know, but we don't want to miss it. Oh, I don't want to miss. What's her name and who? And but it's all this information. And yes, I know you can streamline your friends and follow this one if you want to, whatever. But there's so much content and information, even on just one of these platforms, that it bombards us. Like that picture, it bombards us with the input. We don't have a TV in our house, but we sometimes watch YouTube video clips. And even that, you can't really screen what's coming in. It's just, whoa, okay, that happened. And the reality is that these things are dangerous. They influence us. They impact the way we relate to people and to God. A friend of mine, he calls Facebook Fakebook, because when he looks at it, all he sees is happy people. Unless it's about Syria, and then it's not happy. And we find this. We find a lot of people will only post what is good about themselves. You know, like that video said, they cut and edit. You know, I added it to my own photo. I remember when I posted my profile picture. Let's make it black and white. Just so people don't see how pale I really am. I was just like, oh, whatever. Post it. You know, and it's, the reality is you're concerned about what people think about you and how they look at a page, a website, or whatever. And when people start to like your photo, you're like, yeah, I did a good job, you know. It's like, come on. Oh, it's interesting. So Facebook, often when I leave or log off, I'm really knocking Facebook tonight, but there's a lot of these platforms, and I would say that's probably the one that's probably my biggest battle right now, is when I leave Facebook or log off something, I don't feel any better, right? Sometimes it's like an inspirational video or something that someone shared, and it lasts for a second, but I don't feel fulfilled. I really, often when I leave Facebook, I'm like, shucks, man, my life ain't that great anymore. Like, these people are like on honeymoon, and I'm working. This is horrible, you know? I just want to be on honeymoon again. Or whatever. Just people really post the best of their lives. And you don't really see the day-to-day life. You know, the struggle. Oh, you also woke up tired this morning. Ah, cool. You know, but those types of things. We don't really see that on these platforms. We see a perfect little bubble of a world. And I think sometimes we also use, you know, these types of media to get a reaction. You know, we'll post something that's really extreme. Like, whoa. How can you post that? You know, because we're looking to actually just get acknowledged and say, hey, I'm out in the world as well. Do you see me? And that's, we must be careful of that, because that's not of God. That's really not. We have to monitor the things we place, because people are looking in. You guys are becoming quiet. I hope this is something that's just interesting to you anyway. Life these days has become so busy, and I know that for me, convenience is almost something that is attractive to Facebook and these platforms. The convenience of it, that, you know, it's always there. At 3 a.m, Facebook is there. You don't have to wake them up and say, hey, they're there, that you can relate to it. And it reminds you of people's birthdays that you haven't met for many long time, but you're going to wish them happy birthday because it's going to mean something. No. All right? Rather call someone. Just look, I've been guilty of this as well, but find someone. Speak to them. Find out how they're really doing on their birthday. It makes all the difference, you know. So often it's the convenience even of social media and WhatsApp. And all. We use them in church, you know. I might get into trouble for this because we use Facebook a lot. We use WhatsApp a lot. But it's not that we use them. It's what we use them for that's important, and how it influences us, how it impacts us. Okay, so there's this spiritual bombardment and attack even just of our own ego that we want to be, we actually want to know everything.
The next concern I have is we're forgetting the joy of fellowship and communion. We're forgetting this joy of fellowship and communion. We are created to be relational. God is a relational God, and He doesn't want us to be distant. He wants us to be close to Him. He wants us to know Him. We went on a Malawi mission trip in July, and I experienced this because my phone, I didn't have signal, so there was no Facebook for 2 weeks. There was no anything really, no media, no any forms of media. All we did was spend time with the team and with their family. And we would sit in this little house, and we'd cook, and we'd chat to each other, and we'd share our lives together. And then when I came back, I sort of slipped back into the old bubble of life and how things work, and I started to realize, man, there's something different about this. There's something different about the way I relate when I don't have these things. And there's a definite shift in the way you start to think, the way you start to relate to people, the way you start to relate even to God. You actually wait for Him. You make time for Him. And we experienced that, the whole team, I'm sure, when we went to Malawi. And there's this passage in 2 John, verse 12. It's his final greeting, and he says here, "Though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink." That's the technology of those days, right? If it was an iPad or something. "I would rather not use my iPad. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face so that our joy may be complete." Isn't that beautiful? That he could have sent a letter, but there's something that John understood here. This apostle of God, he understood that there's something special that we share when we engage with each other. You know, it says in the word that where two or more gathered, not on Facebook, but where two or more gathered, his presence is there. And that's so beautiful. It's like we are set up to have relationship with people. In Hebrews, it also mentions, it's not up there, but you know, it reminds us that let us not neglect the gathering of the saints. Even these days that we're moving into, people say, "I don't need church. There's church on the internet. I can just download a sermon and stay at home and we can stream it or whatever. I don't need to engage with people." No, you do. It says it in the Word. Do not neglect the gathering of the saints. It's exactly for this reason that there's something special that gets transferred when we actually engage with each other. All right? It's not just this lostness. That video clip that we watched, it spoke about loneliness. Loneliness is the loss of relationships that cannot be replaced by friendships online. And some of the people that have the most friends on Facebook or whatever, they struggle with the deepest loneliness. Loneliness is one of the biggest fears that you'll get in this world. The top 10 list of fears, it was like spiders and death, and then loneliness was up there. People that are afraid of being alone. I think the worst thing is dying alone. You know, we're afraid of being alone. So we create a little safety net for ourselves. We have Facebook, we have all these things. So when we're not around people, we're still connected. But actually we're not. It's okay to be alone. Because in there, they spoke about loneliness as a bad thing. You're never alone. If you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit. You have God's presence with you. You are never alone. That is wonderful. That is the beauty of God, is that He knew we'd need a comforter. He knew we'd need a counselor. So when we are alone, we're never alone. So that's the beauty of the relation God set up for us. I was mentioning, you know, these things aren't all bad. Facebook and WhatsApp and Reddit and Tumblr and... there's a list. Let's go to it quickly. Do you have a picture there of it? Maybe you know some of those, Instagram and all those things. I don't even know those things. There's so many. It's crazy. It's actually crazy how many things are out there. Pinterest, that's quite a nice one. And I like Vimeo. It's got nice videos. But anyway, so that's the list, you know, of just so much media and so much input and Google Plus and all these good things. But they're not all bad. And we can use these things, but we need to redeem them. We have to redeem them for the kingdom. Because I really believe media and the use of media is powerful. But if we don't redeem these things in our life, then cut them out. I'm just being honest. Maybe the people that put up their hands, God spoke to them and said, you cut that out. Because you're not able to redeem them for my purposes. That is what social media can be used for, is to reach a generation. Because, hey, we're part of it and we're moving. The next generation is just swamped by it. They only know almost how to relate through social media. So we need to redeem it. We have to use it to glorify God's kingdom, to see the lost come in. I've been challenged with this, though, because I was speaking to my wife about it as well. And we were sitting, we were about to go to bed, and we're tired, it's been a long day. And we're lying in bed, about to go to bed, and we're both on our phones, on our Facebook accounts. And it sounds really sad, because it is really sad. Because we were more interested on what happened in other people's lives. We'd spoken to each other, but now we're in our Facebook time. You know? And it's so bad, because I just realized there's something wrong there. We should probably be praying for God's kingdom to come, for our families, for our friends, for our church, for you. We should be doing that, but we're not. We're actually engaging with Facebook and with the things of the world. Anyway, I'm just being honest, sharing some of the challenges I'm going through regards to media and what it does to relationships, the interaction of people. So, we can use social media for good, specifically to encourage others. You know, I've tried to cut as much rubbish off as I can on Facebook, but often you want to encourage people, man. You don't want to break people down. You want to post something that's going to, like, offend someone or disturb them. You want to encourage people. And we need to be strategic in how we do that. You know, if you post a whole bunch of things all the time, people are just going to be like, oh, it's this guy again. He keeps on posting these things, you know. And we must be encouraging with the types of things we use. Social media should be an extension of our relationship and never a substitute for face-to-face relationships with people. So I've got a few questions here that I want to ask you. Are the conveniences of online communication undermining the joy of communicating with one another? And I can say yes to that at that scenario with my wife and I. Yes, it steals from your joy. Do I truly value the personal face-to-face relationships in my life over the relationships I maintain online? And this is something, oh man, it gets to me. Really gets to me. If I'm speaking to someone, we're having a coffee or whatever, and something happens on their phone, I just want to, I crumble inside because I'm like, they're struggling with this. They don't realize it, but they're struggling with it. They're valuing that device and what that has to say more than, I've made an effort to be here. I'm right here. Speak to me. And it's important. We need to value people, man. We're going to spend a lot of time together in heaven. There's going to be no phones. None. So we need to get to know each other. We need to value each other. We need to value the contribution we have to make in each other's lives. God has put us together as people for a reason. Not for us to be disconnected by media. You know, by our devices and the things that keep us occupied. It's much the same as anything. But this is a subtle thing. That's what I'm saying. We've become socially and culturally accepted to it. Oh, no, you answer that call. Oh, no, that you must get that message. And then even so much as to say, oh, look, you tagged in this photo. I don't care. You know, so we've got to be just aware of these things, man. That these people, and for us as believers, you know, we need to understand that the lost out there, they don't even think about these things. They just engage with media because this is what it is. This is the best it's going to get. They don't have a relationship with God, so there's nothing competing for it. But when we engage people, what are we portraying to them? Are we saying it's okay? No, go ahead. Go ahead with everything you're doing on media. It's fine. Or are we discipling them? And this is the thing, is we are called to disciple people. So the way we go about using media also influences the way we disciple people. Because they follow us. They follow the way, the ways and things we do. Are my face-to-face relationships with my neighbors, my family, my friends, suffering because I don't engage with people in a meaningful way? And I think that's, it comes simply down to that, that when you're even with God, are we present? Are you there? Or is your phone there? You know, in your quiet time or the time you spend with God, you're just like, God, I'm not feeling it. Okay, Facebook. Or whatever. I think sometimes we really need to disengage to actually just spend time with God, spend time with people. Could the band please come up? So, just to recap those concerns. You guys are very quiet. I'm sorry I didn't make you laugh anymore. I'll do a monkey dance now. It's said we like monkeys, but we're not. We're actually humans. And these concerns are important. You know, we become what we worship. We're getting spiritually bombarded by all these inputs, and we're forgetting the joy of fellowship, you know, engaging with each other, because we're changing. We're changing in our minds, because we're relating so much and so strongly to the way we communicate via social media. And most importantly, we're being challenged with our communion with God, our relationship with Him, because we don't set apart time, we don't engage with Him on the level that He wants to speak to us. We use media to fill that. So, okay, God, I'm hungry. I just need a word of encouragement. So then we go into social media to find, instead of sitting at God's feet and saying, God, I just need to be in Your presence. Just speak to me, man. Just, I need to know that I'm Your son, that You love me. And there's some practical solutions that I just want to mention here. You know, we're going to take communion this evening as well, and it's such a special time for us to just actually reflect on your own walk. Where are you at with media? You know? We're going to do things a little bit differently this evening, where we're just going to break up into groups and we're going to have communion. I just want to share a scripture on communion before that, and there's some practical solutions, because maybe you're sitting there and you're saying, John, you know what? You're right. Media has really affected my life. And I know it's affected me. It's affecting me. And I need to be wise, man. I need to start to be aware of these things. And I'm going to make a proposal to you guys that my wife and I are already in. We're taking a 2-week media fast. I'm not saying don't use any forms of media. But you will know. You will know exactly what type of media is stealing from your relationship with God. And this is an opportunity for you to say, I want to do that. I want to do at least a test to say, man, there's something I'm missing here with God. I'm substituting God. And the goal here is to grow in intimacy with God, to hunger and to hear and to know Him, not through media. Then write a letter to someone. I don't know, when last did you do that? Where you actually wrote a letter and posted it. You know, not type it out, write it with your hands. Meet someone for coffee or a meal. Invite them, engage with them face to face. I know that you do this. I'm not knocking you. But instead of us maybe wishing someone happy birthday via WhatsApp or Facebook, say, I want to take you out for cake today. That's a crazy thought. Wow, okay. By the way, it's not my birthday, but you can take me out for cake if you want to. You've got to set up some boundaries. You know, we've got to be wise to these things, and don't be religious about it. You can say, no media whatsoever. I'm cutting everything out. I'm throwing away my smartphone. I'm getting a Nokia 3310. I don't even know if you can still get those. Maybe it's your doorstop at your house. You're like, ooh. All right? And you just, I've got to put boundaries in place. Then do that. Be wise. Stay accountable to someone. Say, man, I'm going to do this fast. Maybe speak to your small group. Say, hey, guys, this is important. We need to get back to the basics of God. We just need to get back to God's heart. We need to stop getting fed by media and just say, God, I want to know you more. I want to know what you say about me, not what Joyce Meyer says about me. And I'm nothing against Joyce Meyer, but all these inputs that we get, then, you know, we can use media. And you might go from here like, ugh, man, media is nothing. I rule media. I am media. Well done for you. Maybe you work for a company and all you do is media. I'm sorry for you. But it says here, submit everything you do to God. Everything. Including your job and media. Submit it to God. Say, God, before I make this post, is this okay? Because this is about you and me. It's not about what man is going to say about me when I post this thing. I want to post this to glorify you. And if not, then I won't. That's all that matters, is what you say.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.